Joanna Schrader reporting live for AgWire.com and DomesticFuel.com. And I am with Antonio Bento, who's an associate professor with Cornell University. Antonio, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well. Now, Antonio, what department are you in at Cornell?
In Applied Economics and Management.
Now, you're somebody that we don't talk to a lot, I think, in the biofuels industry. Usually we talk to scientists on the biofuel side, but one of your areas of expertise is actually in public policy. Is that correct?
That's right.
During your presentation today, you did talk some about public policy, and one in particular that was interesting was the research you did as it related to current policy and subsidies and mandates and food prices. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So currently, as you know, former President Bush enacted the Energy Independence and Security Act, which calls for 36 billion gallons of ethanol, 15 billion gallons coming from corn-based ethanol and maturing by 2015, and the rest coming from cellulosic ethanol. Now, the legislation effectively mandates the production of ethanol and is coupled with the volumetric tax credit that basically has been for a while 51 cents of blended for every gallon of ethanol that you blend, and it's currently at 45 cents. So what most of our research found is that we are well on our way to meet the corn-based ethanol 15 billion gallons mandate. And surprisingly, while a lot of the public press has blamed increasing food prices due to these mandates, we find very little effects. And so, indeed, we find that the bulk of the increased input prices comes from the fluctuation in crude oil prices and our dependence on foreign oil, and less so on the land we are devoting for the production of biofuels. And this has to do with the fact that our framework, unlike a lot of the other models that are out there, we really account for the dynamics. In other words, we account for the fact that over time yields will improve, we account for the fact that there is multiple land uses that could adjust, and we account for the fact that there's going to be technological progress in the ethanol industry.
Great. Now, you mentioned the land use, and that has been another issue that a lot of people are saying, that if we continue on this path of biofuels, that we'll put more land in production and we'll actually hurt the environment.
Right.
What did your study find in terms of indirect land use effects?
So the study finds that there's actually much smaller indirect land use effects than what others have predicted. And to understand the effect, that let me run you through the steps of the argument. So first of all, the corn-based ethanol mandate actually reduces the exports of major crops by very small levels. We saw 2 to 3%. And now where the literature has failed is how do you link those changes in drops in crop exports with land use conversions elsewhere? And basically the problem is that you cannot assume that the rest of the world is at its maximum yield potential, because if you take countries like Brazil and Argentina, we all know that there are substantial yield gaps. So before folks elsewhere start converting land, they're going to look for opportunities to increase the productivity of their existing land. So, for example, they could intensify agricultural production, or they could actually adopt much more advanced seeds that the U.S. and other countries have already produced. And so it is premature to talk about unintended land use effects, because those assume that the rest of the world is already at its maximum production capacity, and that's not the case.
So that being said, then, would it be a bad, what's the best public policy as it relates to land conversion? You know, should we have some in place, and if so, what should that look like?
Right, so currently actually the state of California has enacted low carbon fuel standards, and the low carbon fuel standards actually attempt to quantify the potentially unintended land use effects of some of these feedstocks, and that actually does make sense, provided that we do a proper quantification of what the unintended land use effect would be. And so what I think our research illustrates is that most of the prior literature probably went too far in blaming biofuels for the unintended land use effects. I mean, most of the deforestation that we are observing in Brazil is actually a consequence, is actually driven primarily by increases in population and the massive infrastructure investment that took place in the 80s and 90s, not so much biofuels in the U.S., basically.
Right. Now, you also mentioned in your presentation that for the success of biofuels, or really the success of any type of alternative energy program, will take effective public policy and effective pricing. We don't hear a lot about effective pricing.
Right.
What has your early research shown on what would be an effective pricing structure?
That is an excellent question. So one of the slides demonstrated that at current technology and current crop prices and current crude oil prices, what we know is that the cost of producing a gallon of ethanol using any of the second generation feedstocks would be typically twice as much as corn-based ethanol. And so, you know, you ask yourself the questions, is this sector ever going to emerge? And the answer is at current prices, no. So can the U.S. make a serious commitment towards renewable energy? Of course it can, but to do that, you need to start accounting for all the external costs that are associated with our current dependence on foreign oil, and also the environmental costs associated with our consumption of fuel. Once you start doing that, then there are reasons to design a very comprehensive package of public policies that move us and transitions towards renewable energy.
Now, Antonio, where can people go to follow the research that you're doing right now?
So they can come to our department, Department of Applied Economics and Management at Cornell University. At Cornell, I direct the Environmental Economics and Renewable Energy Policy Program. So we have our working papers there.
Well, great. Well, wonderful. Thanks, Antonio.
Thank you.